Some of you know that God is real and know that he's there, but you're not close enough to the presence of God for it to affect your life. You visit the presence, but you don't live in the presence.
This is Straight Talk.
You're listening to Straight Talk Chicago. This is your host, Joshua Halleck, and we are in a series called Presence, the Presence of God. Today's message is called Restoring the Presence, and we're in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 15, and Pastor Mark is talking to us about how David, at one point, because the presence of God was so powerful and so much out of his control, David ran from the presence of God, but where the presence of God is, there is blessing. And there's a way to engage with God and experience the blessing of God in his presence, but we're not in control. And that's what this message is about. How do I go about surrendering and submitting to God and honoring him in a way where he has full control and authority, and I live in the blessing of his presence? Today, if there's anything that you need, I believe it's more of the presence of God. This is 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 15, restoring the presence.
Years ago, when I was walking down the street praying for what this church would become, I still engraved deeply within my heart and my soul. We were just a small group of people at the time, and I was praying for what this church would be. And I'll never forget, I paused in a moment. I felt like God gave me a flash of what this church was going to look like. And I saw thousands of people when we were just like 25 people. I saw faces. And I said to God, God, I have no idea how we would reach that many people. It's just way beyond me, my ability. And I felt like God spoke to my heart. I stopped while I was on a prayer walk. I stopped right there in the middle of the street. And I felt like God spoke to me powerfully about this. Be faithful in the little, and I will bring about an increase. And then I felt like God spoke to my heart and said, and do not touch the glory because it belongs to me. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the sense of fear that overcame me. Lord, I don't want to touch that which is yours alone. The glory that belongs to your name. The glory that belongs to you, God. May I never have the arrogance, the pride, the lack of respect that I would touch that which belongs only to the name of the Lord God Almighty. May I never touch the glory that belongs to you. God forbid me to do that. Do not let my hand or my mouth or my life ever touch that which belongs to you, God, because I know the consequences of touching that which only should be handled by the holy God of the universe. The second thing that I want you to take note of, I'm talking about the presence of God. The second thing that I want you to note is this, that the presence of God drives the angry and the fearful away. The Bible says in verse 8, and then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah. And to this day, that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me? He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The second thing I want you to understand is that when we are full of anger and fear, it will drive us to keep our distance from the presence of God. David was angry at how God had acted because he could not understand God and what he did. And he was fearful. So instead of bringing the presence of God to the city of David, he decided to keep his distance from the presence of God because he was full of anger and fear. I want you to track with me. Anger and fear oftentimes are cousins. They go hand in hand. David was angry because God had acted in a way that he didn't think they deserved. I want you to look up at me. There are some of you here today that are far from God because you are angry at God. Your marriage has not turned out the way you thought it would be. Your children have gone in a way that you did not expect. Your finances maybe took a turn for the worse, or maybe physically there's something that's happened, or maybe you're struggling with depression or whatever it may be, and you're angry at God for the way circumstances have turned out. You thought that it would be different. But let me tell you this. Who is the clay to question the hand of the potter? Who are you and I, and as finite beings, to look at the infinite God of the universe and question his decisions or how he works? The Bible tells us that the greatest wisdom of man is far below the foolishness of God. God is sovereign. His ways are so much higher than our ways. His understanding is so much greater than our understanding. And so when we get angry because we cannot understand how God has worked, it is our arrogance lifting itself up against the sovereignty of God. Some of you are distant from God because you're angry at God, because you don't understand what God has done in your life. And some of you are full of fear and anxiety, and it's your fear and anxiety that's kept you away from God. David was angry and fearful, and so he said, I don't want to be near the presence of God. Some of you visit the presence of God, but you're not walking with God, loving God, living in the presence of God like you at one time in your life you did, because there's anger and there's fear that's driven out the presence of God. And so you know he's there, you know he's real, but you don't walk with him, talk with him, live with him, let him have all the portion of your life that you have, because you distrust what God could do. I've had conversations with people that tell me, I'm afraid to give myself fully to God because I don't know what he'll ask of me. So David decided, no, I don't want the presence of God in the city of David. And so instead of bringing the presence of God to the city of David, he decided to take it to the house of Obed-Edom. How many of you, when you don't like something, you give it to someone else? Your aunt brings over that tutti frutti pie that none of you like. And so you visit the house of your neighbor and say, you know, we were just thinking about you and thought maybe you would really like this. David was like, I don't want it in my house. I'm going to find someone to put it. So he found a guy, a Gittite, by the name of Obed-Edom. And I can just imagine them bringing the ark to Obed's house. Everybody knows someone has just been struck dead. Everybody's in fear now. And so they bring the ark to Obed's house. They put it down in his house. And they walk carefully away from the ark. Obed tells his children, listen, don't play around it. Don't touch it. This is dangerous. But there's something about Obed that welcomes the ark into his house. He welcomes the presence of God into his house. Leads me to my third point. Write this down. The presence of God overflows in blessing, or it is welcomed and appreciated. So the Bible said that the ark of the Lord remained in Obed-Edom the Gittite's house for 3 months. David kept checking on it. Is Obed dead yet? No. Any of his animals died? No. Any of his kids catch leprosy? No. In fact, David, it seems to be that Obed is doing extraordinarily well. Really? Yeah. In fact, his kids are getting taller. His grain is growing deeper. His animals are getting pregnant and having babies. It seems like he's doing better than all of his neighbors. In fact, some people say that it's the ark of God that is blessing his house overflowing way. Everybody notices that something is different about the house of Obed. Man, he's flowing in favor. The Bible tells us that 3 months later, Obed's house was overflowing with the blessing of God because God was in the house. Let me tell you something about the presence of God. The presence of God is a powerful force of blessing, and it can be a powerful force of judgment as well. But when the presence of God is welcomed, you have to get close enough to it for the blessing of God to flow and the favor of God to splash on you. Some of you know that God is real and know that He's there, but you're not close enough to the presence of God for it to affect your life. You visit the presence, but you don't live in the presence. You occasionally stop by, but you're not walking in it. Obed welcomed the presence of God in his house. He welcomed the ark of God in his house, and his house started flowing in favor and blessing and overflow. And he was getting better and stronger and blessed and flowing, and the protection of God was around his house, and everybody around knew that something had changed in Obed's house because God's blessing was flowing on his house. And when David saw that, in verse 12, now King David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark. So the Bible says that David said, well, now I want the ark home. Listen, this is so important. I want you and I and this church to be in a place where we welcome the presence of God in such a way that the favor of God and the joy of God and the presence of God is so manifest on us that people around you that are far from the presence of God look at you and say, I want what you have. I want it in my life. I want people to envy the joy, the favor, the blessing, the sense of God's presence, because you're living with the presence of God in your house, in your life. I want them to one day say, what is it about you that I don't have? Because I want it. I want people far from the presence of God to say, I used to have what you have, and I miss it, and I want it, and I want to return to it. Looking at you reminds me that those that walk close to God have a joy and a contentment and a fullness and a walk with God that is so powerfully and deep. I want what you have. I want God's presence to be in my life too. I want us to be that kind of church. You see, because in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Restoring the Presence, which is from Pastor Mark's brand new series called Presence. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message and give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago, as well as information about his book, Unstuck. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in a brand new series called Presence, and tonight's message is called Restoring the Presence.
In the presence of God there, you have to get close enough to the presence to experience the splash of the blessing. Some of you are too far away to experience any of the benefits of the presence of God. David was full of anger and fear, and so he was too far away to experience the presence that God wanted him to experience, because the presence of God overflows in blessing where it's welcomed and appreciated. I never knew this about Obed until recently. He's become my new favorite guy, Obed-Edom. Do you realize that he got so addicted to the presence of God that when they took the ark to Jerusalem, Obed moved his family to Jerusalem as well? He became a God chaser. He said, what I've had, I'm not going to live without anymore. I've tasted it. I've seen it. I've had it. I'm not going to live without it anymore. There are some of you in this place, you've tasted of the goodness of God and the power of His glory. You've felt the joy of Jesus inside of you. You've felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, and now you cannot live without it. Now you chase it. You go after it. You say, God, I want your presence more than anything else in life. Obed changed his, he moved his house. He went to Jerusalem, and the Bible tells us that he became one of the musicians, one of the guardians of the ark, because he had been so touched with the presence that he was not about to leave it again. The presence of the Almighty God. And then lastly, number four, the presence of God travels best on the shoulders of praising people. So David, he went to bring the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom, it says, to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might while he and Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and sounds of trumpets. So David decided, I'm tired of living away from the presence. I've lived long enough away from the presence of God. I want the presence of God in my life. I want to live with it. I want to live by it. I want it to dwell with me. And I know it's a fearful thing to live with God because I have to search my heart and there's things that will aggravate and anger the presence of God. But I'm willing to risk it because I want His blessing more than I fear His judgment. And so I will press in to know God and I will bring the ark of God, but this time I will bring it on the shoulders of praising priests. We find that in 1 Chronicles. So this time the priest got the ark of the Lord and they put it on their shoulders and they praised God as they walked, and every six steps they would stop. And they would sacrifice and pick it up again. And they would walk and stop and sacrifice. This time, they were welcoming the presence of God. And David, it says, danced before the Lord the entire time. He took off his priestly robe, his kingly robes. He threw down his crown. He got in with there with the crowd. And he danced and rejoiced and jumped and sang and flung around before the presence of God. And finally, when he was done singing and praising with excitement, the presence of God was in his house. He went and he saw his wife. And his wife said to him, oh, you've embarrassed me. Dancing and prancing without your kingly robes like some common fellow. And I love what David said to her. And I will become even more undignified than this. You thought that was bad? You watch. I don't care what people think when I praise God. I'm going to praise Him with all of my might, with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my substance. Because I don't care what people think. I want to bless the name of the Lord our God. Hey, some of you need to stop thinking. Some of you need to stop worrying about what people think. Some of you need to lose a little of your dignity when it comes to the presence of God. Oh, Pastor, no, I'm just very proper. Praise Jesus. Seriously? Some of you need to stop. I don't care if I look proper or not. I'm not concerned what people think. I want to give God all of my heart, soul. I want to praise Him as He deserves to be praised. I want to bless Him like He deserves to be blessed and honored and exalted. I want to give the King of Kings and Lord of Lords all that He deserves. And I will be even more undignified than this. And maybe before the eyes of men I will be despised, but in the eyes of God I will be exalted, because he will look down on me and be pleased. Some of our worship needs to lose a little bit of its dignity. Some of us are more afraid of what man may think than we are of what God may say. When's the last time you fall prostrate on your face before God Almighty and not afraid of what people may say or think, because you are struck by the awesomeness of God? When's the last time you have given God praise and worship like he deserves, not worrying about who's behind you, in front of you, beside you, or the other side, because you could care less. You want God to know that he is worshiped and adored. King David danced before the king with all of his might. He could care less about the people, and it was only the proud and the arrogant that despised him. The worshipers joined with him. As I was preparing for this message, the Spirit of God was speaking to my heart. I was in a parking lot thinking over this message. And I broke down and started weeping like a baby, because I felt like God was speaking to me. I'm in my car just sobbing, tears running down my face. I had to repent. I had to say, God, I'm sorry for carrying your presence on carts made of man. When really, God, what you want of me is a heart that's passionately seeking and following after you, and no substitutes. I started to pray, Lord, I want a church that passionately seeks you, God. I want to be a part of the people that are pressing in to know you and love you and are passionate about seeking you. We don't have to have the best, the fanciest, the latest, but I want us to have a passion for you, God. I want our sons and daughters to see God at work amongst us. I want people to walk in from the outside and be exposed to the power of the presence of God, so that without a word being said after the worship, people come and say, I need to know this Jesus, the Son of God. I've been awakened and drawn to this place. My life belongs. I need him. I want him. I want people to be convicted of their sin because the presence of God is so powerful. I want people to be healed because God's healing power is in this place, and it just flows to people's hearts that are being touched and seeking him. I want those that are oppressed to be set free because they've encountered the power of the living Jesus, and his presence sets people free. I want people to walk in this place and know that this is not just a religious gathering where people are coming together to learn and fill a notebook, but people are coming together, and really there is something different about these people. The presence of God is manifest in that place. I want to be a part of a people of his presence. I've done way too many things without his presence. I've walked ahead of God so many times, and I've had to repent of it and say, God, forgive me. I've walked ahead of you. I don't want to walk ahead. I say like Moses, Lord, if you don't go, I'm not going either. If you don't move, I'm staying put right here until you move, God. Because what I want, what I need, what I desire is your presence. There's nothing like it. There's no substitute. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one in this place feeling that way. But I have a feeling there's other people that are saying, no, Pastor, I'm with you.
This has been the second half of our message called Restoring the Presence, which is part of Pastor Mark's series called Presence. Join us again on Monday as we start part two, The Presence of God. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of tonight's message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. $5 plus shipping is all we ask for CDs. Pastor Mark's book, Unstuck, is also available, and those are only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicago. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thank you so much for listening. I want you to have a great weekend and join us again on Monday for the next Straight Talk. God bless.